Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
All righty, hour number three of our radio program. That's right, it is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll talk a little college football coming up in a few moments from now with Ralph Russo. Does a great job, senior college football writer for The Athletic. And when you take a glance around the college football world right now, man, a lot of storylines going on with the coaching carousel. As James Franklin is out, it's expected that Billy Napier is going to be fired at some point, maybe even as soon as Saturday night or Sunday morning. So a lot of rumors going on right now. A lot of good games also coming up this weekend too. And Ralph Russo joins us right now. Ralph, appreciate the time. Thanks so much for doing this. How you been?
Good, good. You're right. It's a very busy time of the year. The coaching carousel, when that gets cranking this early, Zach, it really puts a different spin on the season. No pun intended.
Yeah, and let me start you off with Cignetti, because 2 years ago, if I would have told you that the coach in Indiana would basically be like, thanks but no thanks to Penn State, you would say, all right, like, what drugs are you on? Are you the dumbest person on this planet? But it kind of just shows you the structure now. In college football, you could change things overnight. And if you get the funding, why leave for even if it's a bigger and more historically better brand?
Yeah, you can compete. It really, listen, it's always come down to money to a certain degree. And I think that the bigger brands, as my colleague Stuart Mandel at The Athletic likes to say, the 100-seat stadium schools, they still have an advantage. There are still advantages there. But if you really are willing to step up and spend on your coach, on players, the facilities and other stuff like that still matter, though not quite as much as they used to be, you can be competitive. Now, listen, is Indiana now Ohio State? I don't think so. But at 64 years old, you know, this was the school that gave Cignetti his first big break, a career that had sort of spanned from like Elon to Alabama, right? Like he had been in all these different places and it had been a really slow burn. And so I can understand him sort of being loyal to the school that gave him his big break. And listen, it's also easy to be loyal at $11 million a year. They're providing him everything he needs to compete at a high level.
So now you have Cignetti out. I know that no one knows who's going to get the Penn State job necessarily. Matt Rhule's going to be a name that's clearly associated with Pat Kraft. I'm a Temple grad, so I know very much well about the Pat Kraft and Matt Rhule connection. But where are the names that now you look if you're the Penn State fan on who they should want as their next head coach?
Yeah, it's interesting because I'm in some ways a little hesitant to just you throw names out there and you don't want to be like, listen, this person is a candidate, because you don't really know who the actual candidates are. Only Pat Kraft knows who the actual candidates are. But I think what you try to do is, like, just like with a guy like Cignetti or Matt Rhule, is you try to like look at the profiles of people who might be available and say, this makes sense for Penn State, right? And Matt Rhule is the most obvious one that seemingly would make sense for Penn State. I would say Manny Diaz has been hired by Pat Kraft before. Now, he never coached a game at
Temple. He's undefeated.
But he was the coach of Temple for a hot minute before leaving Temple and taking the job down at Miami.
I think it was 17 days. I'm not salty or anything about it, but I think it was 17 days there, Ralph.
Right, and as much as Manny's time at Miami was bumpy, it wasn't horrible. I would say, like, we talk about funding and support and things like that. Manny wasn't getting the type of support and funding that Mario got now. So, you know, again, like, and Manny's done a pretty good job at Duke, and he was also on the Penn State staff for a couple of years. So he was in Happy Valley for a couple of years. So again, is he a candidate? I don't know, but he's a guy who sort of fits the profile of a relationship with the athletic directors, had a nice run right now. So maybe he could be a name that could pop up. You know, I try to connect some dots and think, you know, Mike Elko is from the Northeast. Now, he's got a pretty good situation at Texas A&M. Frankly, he's got a team that might be making a long playoff run, which is another thing you need to sort of work into the equation too, Zach. Like, who would be available to be hired, considering most hirings have to be done in early December? Maybe that changes a little bit now because the portal isn't until January. But a sitting head coach who's in the playoff might be a hard guy to pull away. So again, like, when you talk about big picture, who's available, who Penn State might look towards, I still think Matt Rhule is probably at the top of the list. Who else becomes a little blurry and hard to decipher?
Yeah, maybe I'll be dead wrong on this. I just feel, and I think it truly is a flip of the coin, but I feel like Matt is going to stay at Nebraska. I obviously understand the connections to Penn State probably better than anybody. I look at Mike Elko. I think he's staying at A&M. I think Lane Kiffin is staying at Ole Miss. But the name I keep on throwing out there is Eli Drinkwitz, who I kind of feel like, okay, Penn State could be in play, or even Florida could be in play for him as well if he wants to stay in the SEC.
Yeah, I have felt that he would seem to be a pretty good candidate for Florida. And that doesn't mean he can't be a candidate for Penn State. You know, again, Eli's done a really nice job at a Missouri program. That, again, has stepped up and is competing and trying to compete at a higher level, trying to compete at the top of the SEC, and is doing a pretty good job of that in terms of, again, investment and things along those lines. And again, Eli should get a lot of credit there. So, yeah, without question, he is a guy whose name I think will be in a lot of places. I think for people like me, you know, Florida has been a hot seat for 3 years now, right? We've been waiting for Billy Napier to go one way or the other for it seemingly like, you know, for 3 years now, whereas Penn State is such a new arriver onto the scene. You know, just 3 weeks ago, they were playing a top 10 matchup against Oregon. So who could have guessed that we would get here with Penn State? So, you know, does a guy like Drinkwitz then become a possible candidate if things don't work out with Rhule? Yeah, I think it's fair to say that a lot of the big jobs will be looking at a lot of the same candidates.
And I'm also going to be curious, because coaches get very selective and they do things that maybe don't make sense to us when picking jobs in terms of what they value, what the next move is for James Franklin. Like, you know, will he sit out for a year? Yeah. Does he take maybe a UCLA, which would be ironic, or would he take Virginia Tech? Or does he say, you know what, I'm a big-time football coach, Florida's open, you know, let me go to the SEC and let me go coach Florida and get right back into the hopper? I'm fascinated by what Franklin's going to do next.
So a lot of different ways to look at this. And again, you know, you're trying to read people's minds. So, but let's kind of look at this from a couple of different angles. Perception is everything, right? And right now, despite James Franklin's excellent record, the perception of James Franklin is probably like his stock is probably low compared to how good a coach he is, right? That's probably not fair, but I think that's probably a fair assessment of his situation. So if you're James Franklin, do you feel like, hey, why should I go coach in the ACC, let's just say in the ACC, Virginia Tech's a good program, but right now there is a pecking order where the Big Ten's got a lot of money. The SEC's got a lot of money. You got a little less money in the ACC, a little less money in the Big 12, right? So I think that if you aspire to compete at the very top of the sport, or aspire to do that, you want to be in the Big Ten or the SEC. So do if you're James, a guy who's accomplished as much as he has, do you find yourself thinking, oh, that's a step back if I go to a Virginia Tech, even though it's been a historically a pretty solid program? I want to be back in the big time. Well, again, your stock is a little low. So does a Florida really want you? You know, if you're Florida, if you're a Florida, the athletic director of Florida, is that a hard sell to your constituents saying that, hey, the guy who just crashed out at Penn State, that's the guy who's going to lead us to a national championship? So there's a lot of things in play there that sometimes aren't necessarily fair in the way you judge a coach, but you know what you do, perception is reality. So I think that is one of the things that he's going to have to deal with. And maybe he is best off doing TV for a year, building his stock back up, because sometimes, you know, time heals some wounds, and maybe you have a better situation next year. The last thing I'll say on that, though, a lot of jobs are going to open up. So
yeah.
So it might be hard for a guy like Franklin to stay away because there might be so many opportunities available.
Like, what about Auburn and Kentucky? Do you feel like those jobs are going to open up when the hiring cycle gets underway?
The Auburn thing does seem like we are on the precipice here. You talked about where Napier is, and I know there have been reports. You know, frankly, I wake up every Sunday over the last year and a half wondering if Billy Napier is going to still be the coach at Florida. So, yes, could it happen as early as this Sunday? Sure, but I feel like it could have happened for the last 17 Sundays of college football season. Auburn, I think, is getting very close to that point, too. You know, Eufreeze seemed like a pretty good hire at the time. Guy has SEC experience and a track record of doing well at Ole Miss. Comes with some baggage, but hey, you know, if you win, we can put your baggage aside. And we're now looking at possibly 3 years where the returns are just not great. Like, just pure results on the field, you would think Auburn needs to be better. The other thing interesting about with Freeze is we talk about some of these astronomical buyouts. Mm-hmm. They kind of bought low on Freeze to a certain degree, right? He doesn't have one. I'm not sure what the number is on top of my head, but I think it's in the $10 to $15 million range, which is a lot of money for you and I, Zach. But really, I mean, that's like couch cushion money, at, you know, compared to some of these other schools that are firing coaches. So moving away from Freeze after giving it a 3 year or 2+ year run wouldn't be that tough for Auburn. As for Kentucky, that is a money situation, right? There's a lot of money on the table there for Mark Stoops. And I feel like that's not a situation where you might see a firing as much as the school and the coach kind of sit down and look at each other and say, you know, maybe we could both use a change here. So let's talk about how to make that happen.
Yeah, and you look at Kentucky, they did it with John Calipari. So I guess that could happen in the athletic department. When we look at some coaches that could be on the move, in the non-Power Four, right, everyone's going to tell you John Summerall, Golish, Ryan Silverfield. But inside the Power Four, I keep on going to two names. I'm wondering if Kenny Dillingham will be back at Arizona State next year, or does he take a bigger job? Or Brent Key at Georgia Tech, who's having a really good season right now, they're undefeated. I wonder if he maybe looks for a bigger job as well.
So Kenny D, I would think, is more likely to remain at Arizona State. There's two things going on. First of all, this season, I think he's got a pretty good team. The Levin injury has thrown it off a little bit. Like, I don't know if he would be, let's say, by the time we get to the end of November, I'm not sure Kenny Dillingham would be selling himself at the top of his own market, right? If they're 8-4, maybe all of a sudden he finds himself going like, you know, okay, I'm going to sit this out. Not to mention, again, that is his school. So I could also see him being having a level of loyalty to his own school that would make him say, you know, I got more work to be done here as opposed to just being here for 3 years. But he certainly has the look of a rising star. And I just forgot the other name that you
Brent
said.
Key.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, Brent Key is going to be an interesting one because there is definitely an arrow up on Brent Key at a Georgia Tech team that, you know, if they win it, especially if they win at Duke this weekend, all of a sudden, like, the path towards Georgia Tech getting to the ACC championship and even playing in the playoff looks pretty darn good. And of course, that reverts back to our other conversation. If you're in the playoff, can I hire you for another job, or do you become off the market because your team's in the playoff and I can't negotiate with you? So that's something to keep in mind with Key. But yeah, that is a stock rising guy who, you know, line of scrimmage coach, former offensive line coach. I think that travels well too, in terms of, you know, where he could possibly fit, be it Big Ten, SEC, or maybe a bigger ACC job.
Yeah, and you also wonder, just like with Kenny Dillingham, because Brent Key is a Georgia Tech guy, like, does he just stay there out of loyalty to the school? Because a few years ago, when he was an interim, no one was talking about him for a head coaching job. All righty, let me just get a few more in with Ralph Russo, then we'll let you run. Ole Miss and Georgia. I like Trinidad Chambliss a lot. Georgia's offense just hasn't really been all that for me this year, and I think they've been begging to get got the last few weeks. I kind of think Ole Miss is going to beat them once again. Your thoughts?
So Ole Miss last year worked over Georgia about as well as anybody has worked over Georgia in the Kirby Smart era. That was in Oxford, and that was an Ole Miss team that had a pretty ferocious defensive line. This Ole Miss team is not as loaded on the defensive side of the ball. Still very good offensively with Lane Kiffin. I just have a hard time, and you're right, this is not 2022, 2021 sure. Georgia, just to be very clear. This is not that type of team. I have a hard time seeing Kirby losing two in a row to Lane, especially in Georgia. Listen, close game, but I'm leaning more towards Georgia getting the job done here.
A USC and Notre Dame, it feels like nationally everyone's picking Notre Dame. I see they're as high as a 9.5, 10-point favorite. How much of a chance you give USC to pull off the upset on the road?
So I'm not a betting man, but that does seem like a lot of points. And Notre Dame is playing great. You got to remember, their two losses are to two top five teams at this point. So Notre Dame has been rolling since then. Hard to trust Lincoln Riley's teams on the road. Hard to trust Lincoln Riley's teams in general. I do think this USC team offensively is as good as they maybe have had since Caleb Williams left town. But again, that seems like a lot of points to me. I love USC's running game. But the other thing that I think you should remember in this rivalry, the better team usually wins. And I think the better team is Notre Dame. One last thing on this one, Zach. Little bit of a bold prediction. The winner of this game makes the playoff.
Yeah, right.
I think the winner of this game will end up making the playoff.
Yeah, no, I'm totally with you on that. Alrighty, so just getting back to Penn State or maybe even Florida, right? Some of these fan bases, they're like delusional. Like, yeah, you could call Marcus Freeman. I may call Beyonce for a date. I don't think I'm getting that date with Beyonce. Some Penn State fans are saying, oh, what about Kalen DeBoer? Kalen DeBoer is not leaving Alabama for Penn State.
Yeah.
Is there a mystery name out? Some people have flown out Brian Kelly if things go south at LSU. Ooh, is there a name out
yeah.
there?
No. So the funny thing with Brian Kelly is I suspect that Brian Kelly might like that idea of going to Penn State and resetting his clock because things aren't going that great at LSU. But I know there's been some criticism of like, hey, why would you hire Matt Rhule? Look at his record in the big games. Aren't you just hiring another version of James Franklin? In many ways, that's what Brian Kelly is, except you don't have the pre-existing relationship with the athletic director in the school. And, you know, Matt Rhule is a former Penn State guy. You know, he played for Joe Paterno. So I don't know. The Kelly thing, I think, would make more sense to Kelly than it would to Penn State. Yeah, you know, I think this is a broader conversation of like, what will make you happy, right? I think I find myself with fans when I like throw out names on Twitter and we do these articles and they're like, well, that guy stinks and I don't want this guy. Like, that's underwhelming. Who is a good candidate for you?
Yeah.
Because it's not just who will, like there's only so many people who will take your job. Like, why would Marcus Freeman leave a good situation at Notre Dame just to move into a similar situation at Penn State? Why would Kalen DeBoer leave a great situation at Alabama to move over there? Like, the pool is a lot smaller than I think most fans want it to be. So I think you're almost setting yourself up to be a little disappointed.
Yeah, and let's be real. Everyone, when they get into these coaching stuff, they come off as hypocrites. Like, I've heard from the Penn State fan, don't hire Matt Rhule because the top 25 record isn't good. Well, he was at Temple and Baylor when no one wanted to go to Baylor. But then people will say, oh, I'll take Fran Brown, though, from Syracuse, who Fran Brown learned everything under Matt Rhule. And I know he was at Georgia for a little bit with Kirby Smart, but he's a Matt Rhule guy.
That's an amazing point, Zach, that I love to try to hammer home too. So I'm with you on this. There is more desire to go for the unknown. I think fans are like, we want the next Dan Lanning.
Yeah.
So find that guy. And I would say also this, if Dan Lanning's team doesn't win a playoff game this year, he will be the next coach that we look at and go, hey, man, when are you going to step up and win something big, right? Like, which is crazy because he's done such a great job, but we're so fickle with the way we look at these coaches. Like, their reputations turn on one or two games here. So I think that there's a lot of desire. Like, you'll look at the unknown coach, the John Summerall. Why don't you go get John Summerall? He's the next up-and-coming rising star. It's like, hey, why don't we see him actually win a conference, like win the American first before we dub him the next Nick Saban? So it's just such a very weird dynamic that the coaches with a track record end up being less desirable than the ones with very short track records that we can wish cast them to be the next great coach.
Does a great job covering college football as a writer for The Athletic. He's been doing this for a long time. He is Ralph Russo. Ralph, appreciate the time. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Zach.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.